Вие сте со SBS на Македонски.
Hi everyone on SBS Macedonian. This is Radica Bojkovska Dimitrovska. And today, January the 26th, Australia Day, I talk to Mr. Ken Zulumovski, Honorary Doctor of Medical Sciences, recipient of the Australian Defence Force Medal, and founder of the not-for-profit Gamarada, about the day and what it means to him. Mr. Zulumovski's name is Kira Dan, and he's descendant of Kabi Kabi Nation and have a Macedonian ancestry on his father's side. Mr. Zulumovski, good afternoon and welcome to SBS Macedonian.
Good afternoon back to you, Raditsa. Thanks for the invitation to come and speak on your wonderful program.
Thank you. We've heard on our program in the past about your inspiring life story, but today, Australia Day, January 26th, would really like to hear what is your viewpoint regarding this day, especially that is divisive, somewhat it changed to another date, but it is important to remember that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are not all the same, nor do they share the same thoughts, opinions, or life experiences. So some still see January 26 as a chance to come together, bonded by shared history. But how do you see it? What it means to you?
Yeah, thanks again. It's a very contentious topic, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
One that we are grappling with as we mature as a nation on the whole. And I think, you know, any person with a social conscience will agree that, you know, there is some contention around it. There is some discomfort with what the whole day means for Australians. And increasingly we're seeing and hearing, you know, conversations around whether or not to participate in the day and people talking openly about, you know, the discomfort in the day. Even the name of the day, you know, what should we call it? Should we call it Australia Day? Should we call it January 26th? Should we call it Invasion Day or Survival Day? You know, so there's a lot of different angles. And I think the positive spin that comes from that is that, you know, people are talking about it in a forward-thinking, progressive way. You know, I saw last year for the first time in my life on the mainstream television media, you know, an acknowledgement that the day was, you know, particularly uncomfortable for First Nations. And there were, you know, non-First Nations, you know, media personalities talking about their discomfort with calling it Australia Day, you know, which is kind of wonderful for, I think, us, you know, collectively as First Nations people to see for the first time on mainstream media. You know, we're talking about the Channel 7, Channel 9, Channel 10. You know, the kind of commercial stations that are not usually, let's say, known for, you know, progressive kind of social material. But, you know, it's quite comforting and reassuring that, you know, things are changing. The sentiment is changing because they have a lot of influence with the general public, you know.
So do you think that January 26 still gives maybe a additional good opportunity for respectful and culturally sensitive discussions about the ongoing impacts of colonization and what can be done to unite Australians from all different backgrounds? What, in your view, is needed for true healing?
Yeah, this is a good question, Raditsa.
And complex, you know, yes, I know.
It's very complex. Look, with the whole COVID thing, you know, I wear a mask, and on my mask, there is a little Aboriginal flag, and when I go, you know, from place to place, the people that I meet and talk to, I do a little quick sort of random survey. I say to them, do you know what this means? You know, I might be down the fish markets talking to somebody, or I might be in a university, or I might be doing business or meeting a client, or, you know, down at a restaurant or anywhere I go, I've got the mask on. I'm like, hey, you know, during conversation, I'll say, do you know what this is? Or people ask me, what's that on your mask? Mm-hmm. And it's the Aboriginal flag, and you'd be surprised how many people don't even know what it is. They don't even recognize it. They don't know anything about Aboriginal history. If you say the word Gamarada or Gadigal or even First Nations, they often don't really know, you know, the context or the meaning of these sort of basic beginnings of, you know, cultural awareness knowledge. So that just indicates that there's a real lot of work to be done if we are to as a nation, you know, properly, respectfully embrace our First Nations history and culture and, you know, really unite as one.
Right. Well, many of us at SBS Radio are opening our language programs now with acknowledgement of country, recognizing the continuing connection Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island people have to their land. We know that this practice is not new. Welcome to country and acknowledgement of country have been part of the indigenous cultures in Australia for many, many thousands of years and are of great significance to many indigenous people. But let's hear from you why it is important and what is the difference between welcome to country and acknowledgement of country?
Yeah, well, it's you know, 60,000 years plus is a time frame that, you know, First Nations people have owned and managed and lived in harmony with the country in a sustainable way. And the acknowledgement of country, it's a very valuable ceremonial practice, unfortunately, tends to be diluted and delivered in a way that doesn't really give it its the respect and meaning that it's supposed to have. But the acknowledgement of country or the welcome to country, you know, in recent years we've seen it being taken up more and more. You know, in my work with my consultancy, you know, we go into prisons, we work in the justice, the criminal justice space, we work in the education space of the schools and the universities. We work in the health space, in the mental health facilities, we work in the health clinics. And so we're seeing more cultural awareness training, or we call it cultural safety training these days, which is a move from more education and awareness to better skills to actually carry out the roles in a more effective way. And the cultural, well, the acknowledgement of country, you know, has served as a way to, you know, remind people where they are, and remind them that, you know, they have a connection to land, they have responsibilities to that land, you know, they have a shared responsibility, and it's an invitation to walk with us and to understand, you know, the two ways of perspective on things. Well, I could probably go on and on but, to talk about it, but I think we don't want to turn it into a cultural safety lesson. It's just to say, look, there's the main differences between the two, cultural acknowledgement of country and welcome to country, is that the acknowledgement can be done by anyone who's been given permission, non-First Nations person or a First Nations person can do it if they've been given permission, or if they've done some training, or if they just want to do it themselves and they can just read up about how to do it. There's plenty of YouTube clips that have explained the difference between welcome to country and acknowledgement of country, and I'd encourage the listeners just to simply go onto YouTube and educate themselves these days. You can learn just about anything from YouTube. Learn about your local land, your local country, whatever area you're on. Learn about what country that is. And if you're even more curious, maybe reach out to a local land council or a local Aboriginal medical service or Aboriginal service and just try to connect with the community and get involved. So the acknowledgement of country can be performed by anyone with permission. The welcome to country is only performed by a traditional custodian of that land. For example, in 2013, there was a conference of the Association of Contextual Behavioural Therapists up in the Gold Coast, that around the Sunshine Coast up in Queensland. So that's traditionally my country. That's where my mother, my grandmother was born. It's Cubby Cubby country. And that was the first time in my life that I actually did a welcome to country as part of that conference, to the conference participants, to all the delegates. I was able to get up and do an actual a welcome to country on my country with permission by my elders and seniors of the community. Down here in Sydney, on Gadigal country, I'm not able to perform a welcome to country because I'm not Gadigal, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just do an acknowledgement.
Great. Mrs. Lunowski, just one more question at the end. How do you personally connect the Australian with the Aboriginal and Macedonian heritage?
You know, I was lucky enough to be born with a Macedonian father and an Aboriginal mother.
Mm-hmm. It's a good combination. Best of both worlds, would you say?
Extremely blessed. I've been extremely blessed to be, you know, connected to two beautiful, rich cultures two beautiful, rich communities. And, you know, I'm so blessed to have connections to those communities. And, you know, some of the listeners may have heard my stories on previous programs. Some of them may have read something about my story. You know, I've had some success with my work. I was honorary doctorate by the University of Sydney, and that's the highest award that the university can yes. bestow on someone, they tell me. I've also had, you know, tremendous success with my consultancy, you know, working across the health and justice and mental health spaces and in the corporate space with my programs and services. But before all of this, I did have a very humble beginning, and, you know, my life started with a lot of barriers to everything. You know, single parent Aboriginal mum, welfare dependent. I didn't grow up with a Macedonian community because I didn't meet my father till I was 27. But he went back to Macedonia after he was with my mum for a short time, so I was disconnected from the Macedonian community for most of my childhood, teenage and early 20s life. But later in my early 20s, I became very curious about my Macedonian heritage. You might say I felt a bit of a calling. I did have relatives in the hometown that I grew up, Macedonian relatives, and I connected with them. And you know, actually, I crashed onto the Macedonian community scene in a spectacular way. But it's I found out about the blessing of the waters mm-hmm. tradition.
Yes, for Voditi, yes.
Yeah, and I decided that I was going to go for it.
Did you?
So I went. I went for it, and I got it. The first time I went for it, I got it. And that was another blessing, really, you know, like as a young person who was curious about putting some pieces of a jigsaw puzzle together of their history and heritage on my father's side, and I was brave enough to go down and stand around the rock pool with all the men and, you know, sort of jump in and try and fight for it.
Which it place brilliant. Did you go?
It was Newcastle.
Newcastle, right.
Yeah, it was Newcastle. So that was an interesting part of my life. And then I went around to the community. I knocked on all the doors. You know, you take the cross and you take you bless the houses and they give you money. And, you know, that paid for one of my airfares over to Macedonia.
Wow. That's luck.
Yeah. Pretty good, huh?
So the cross brought you luck. Catching of the cross. Right.
So I've had amazing experiences, beautiful experiences, actually, on both sides. And, you know, because I didn't grow up in the Macedonian community, when I was first making contact with community, you know, I was a little bit apprehensive. I wondered whether they would accept me mm-hmm. or whether, you know, what they would think of
Did
me.
They?
Who is this new person coming and catching the cross? Who's this new person in our community? And, you know, I'm really happy to say that everywhere I went, the community have accepted me with open arms and, you know, have just been like community and like family for me. And it's just been amazing. And similarly, on my First Nation side, on the Aboriginal side, I can go anywhere in Australia to any community, and there's always aunties and uncles and there's sisters and there's brothers, and they're always there with open arms, you know, ready to give you a place to stay or give you a feed or give you a job or just welcome you in the circle with them and be part of the culture and responsibilities that we have in the community. So it's been a pretty amazing journey.
So it is the best of both worlds, yeah?
Yeah, I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky to have that. And it keeps getting better and better. You know, opportunity to come on the radio and meet people like yourself and share my story with community and help educate people about, you know, the history of this country and about the current state of affairs, you know, whether it be political or whether it be social justice matters. You know, we still have a long way to go in this country before we can reach equity. There are still really uncomfortable rates of, you know, unemployment, and there's really high rates of incarceration. There's high rates of suicide. There's high rates of, you know, violence, and there's a lot of suffering and a lot of trauma in communities, and it all stems back to that, you know, horrible sort of experience of colonization. And it was only just a couple of generations ago that, you know, when my mother was in school, when she was attending school, the law stated that if a non-Aboriginal person's parents didn't want their kid to be in the classroom with a black kid, they could send her home just because the parents didn't agree, you know? So my mother experienced that kind of, you know, institutional racism, and that has a really big impact on your self-esteem and your self-worth. You know, we have the stolen generations. We have generations of children torn from their mothers' arms, mothers and fathers' arms. You know, the whole process of colonization sort of renders, you know, a very rich culture with history and song and religion and dance and customs, and it tears all that up and it relegates you to the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. You start from scratch. You have no health. You have no education. And what do you think is going to happen to you? You're going to become sick. You're going to become spiritually sick. You're going to look at alcohol and drugs to try and numb your pain, and then that's going to destroy. That's going to be destructive to the people around you. And then you have these horrible rates of incarceration where people end up getting locked up for things, you know, for things often associated with alcohol and drugs that are associated with mental health, that are associated with trying to heal their trauma. So, you know, one part of healing the nation and bringing us forward is all the services, whether it be education, justice, health, employment, every step of the way of development for our children and young people and adults has to have a trauma-informed approach. It has to be culturally safe. It needs to take into account people come with a whole bunch of history and sometimes a lot of baggage. You know, sometimes people are very injured because of that. And rather than getting tough on them and locking them up and demonizing them and seeing them as horrible people, we need to see them as, well, I think we need to see, and no, they're not just Aboriginal people, but anyone who's been through those experiences, we need to see them, the First Nations, as, you know, I think the jewel of this nation, you know, the diamond of the country, and we need to start, you know, really embracing that culture and that history and positively moving forward. And that means that governments and people with responsibility, people with power, need to think about where they're going to put their money, need to think about how they're going to write their policies and how they're going to be accountable with the resources they've got and the responsibilities they have in playing their part in helping get us through this next generation until we no longer have these problems with our children and our families. That's what Australia Day means to me. It means a big responsibility.
Yes.
And I wish everybody a great public holiday. And I look forward to maybe the next time on your program, Arata.
We would like to hear more about your story. How did you meet your father and, you know, all the details?
Yeah. Well, you know, get some popcorn and come sit around the radio.
Yeah, have a safe holiday, public holiday, Ken, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye, Radica.
SBS на Македонски. Споделете ги нашите прилози на Facebook.